I got to see the 2015 at GWR tallest sandcastle at Virginia Key Beach this week. That thing was huge. Cool things are happening with my friends at this spot. Stay tuned.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today's show, we're going to be looking at Tuesday's two games in the Western Conference. Could both be series ending games, which would just be leading us into that beautiful Golden State Houston Western Conference Finals that we've been eagerly anticipating. So we're going to be talking about that in today's show. So Michael Bolton,
let's get to it.
As for tomorrow's show, I'm not sure what the content of that one's going to be yet. It depends on the result of the Eastern Conference playoff games today. If both teams win, then we will have games. If there's only one team that gets through, or both teams lose, the series end, then we're not going to be having a DFS podcast tomorrow. We'll go back to our 2017 NBA draft recap, and we'll kick that one off with Donovan Mitchell. So you make sure you do not miss that episode for all the Donovan Mitchell news and love that will be coming this way. But today we're talking DFS, we're talking Western Conference, and we're going to be looking at Game 5 in the Pelicans-Warriors series. We head back to Golden State for the closeout game for the Warriors, but let's have a look back at Game 4 first. The Warriors, for the first time ever, started their Hamptons 5 lineup, whatever you want to call it, with Andre Iguodala coming into the lineup for JaVale McGee. It really never made sense for JaVale to play in Game 3. It was a nonsense move. They got beaten in that one, and they went back to, hey, let's play our best players the majority of the time, and that's what worked. We also saw Quinn Cook getting a lot of those JaVale minutes while David West was significantly marginalized, and Kevon Looney remains the primary backup big. Now, I don't know if that's going to work against Houston. It probably won't. I'd like to see them get more Jordy Bell in there, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen. But obviously, the big change in this Game 4 was that starting lineup, was the addition of more Quinn Cook at the expense of JaVale McGee, with Shawnee Livingston getting the rest of those bench minutes. Onto the Pelicans, Rajon Rondo struggled, only 32 minutes. He has not shot well at all. He's been a complete liability on offense throughout this series. He's still providing the assist numbers and still providing stuff for us fantasy-wise, but he didn't play in the fourth quarter of this game. And that's always been the risk in this series, that he could get really marginalized by this Warriors team and it could impact his output. Mirotić also struggled with his shot, and Tone Davis only shot 36% for his 26 points. Rotational stuff was fairly similar to most games from the Pelicans, except we've had DeAndre Liggins appear in both games in New Orleans, and this could very well be it for the Pelicans season. I'm sure Pelicans fans don't want that to be the case, but that is that's clearly the way that that it is heading at the moment as we head back to Game 5 in Oakland as the Warriors look to close it out. The Warriors are favored by a monster 11.5 points. Both of these games for Tuesday have double-digit point spreads, 11.5 for the Warriors, 12.5 for the Rockets. Both of these games have the potential to be significant blowouts, which I think you should really be looking to minimize your DFS expenditure in this day, because there just could be some absolute shit shows of performances. The total in the Warriors-Pelicans game is massive. It's 227, so that's obviously ideal, but there is going to be that real risk of a blowout, I think, happening in this one. The point guards for this matchup, starting with Fangio, Steph's at 9,500. Still doesn't look 100% right from the knee. I think that that is only a GPP spot at that sort of a price, with, I guess, the blowout potential, the Jrue Holiday defense at times. I just don't think that that's a great price for Steph. 8,500, I'd be in on it. 9,500, I think it's a bit high. Shawnee Livingston comes in nice and cheap at 3,000, but he's doing very little, so I don't think there's much to see there. Rondo at 8,000 is a significant risk, as I said, like we saw in Game 4, where he was significantly limited offensively, only had 24 FanDuel points in that game, and that's nowhere near enough at 8,000. You could throw him into a tournament, but I don't feel super strongly about him. You got Ian Clark, you got Quinny Cook. Not sure I really want to go either of those guys. Both of them did exceed value in game four, with Clarkie putting up 25 and Cookie putting up 19. And that's fine at those $3,500 price tags. If I'm going to take one of them, it would be Clark, but I'd restrict it to tournaments only. Shooting guards, we've got Klay Thompson at 6,700. 25-point average over the last three games has definitely been a little bit reduced with Steph back, but I still think that he is a fairly solid option at that 6,700 price tag, especially with only two games on it and some of the pricing being quite high on FanDuel. That gives me a way to go at him. Like, you can compare that with Drew Holiday, who's at 8,800. He had 36 in the last game. He's averaging 44 over the last three. And it does make it a little bit tough to consider Drew a cash guy, just given the, that price tag on FanDuel, it feels a little bit too high. For the small forwards, I love Durant here at 10-8, probably the best high price guy on the slate. You have to spend up a lot to get Harden and Davis in. So Durant at 10-8, even if there is a blowout potential happening, you feel fairly good about him getting a 50-point floor, whereas for the other blokes, you need 60-62-point floor, and that feels probably a little bit of a stretch for Harden and Davis. Durant's the guy that I want to spend up on. Iguodala's at 4,900. I like that for cash quite a bit. Averaging 29 over the last three. Had 35 in that start. Contributes right across the box score. Gets his assists, gets some steals, and they have all nice bonuses on FanDuel as well. So I like him as a nice cash play, and you're going to need some cheap guys in, and it's going to be hard to go past Iguodala as one of those players. Etuan Moore projects out pretty well. I'm not sure that I really like him as an option, though. 4,800 at his price tag. He's averaging just 21 over the past five games, four of those in this series. I just don't see a huge upside for Moore, and I also don't see a significantly high enough floor. So to me, yeah, maybe in a tournament, but he's a guy that I'd probably be avoiding, especially on FanDuel. Darius Miller and Solly Hill are your other two small forwards. Solly's at 2,500. He's barely getting you 10, but he's not getting you 10 points per game. So that makes him, you're not an ideal guy to look at. Well, Miller's probably a guy who can get hot and hit some threes. So if you're scrounging the bottom of the barrel, maybe you can throw Darius in there at $3,000 and maybe he sneaks his way into 20 points. It's a possibility. I feel better about him getting to 20 than I do about Solly getting to, say, 17 or 18. For the power forwards, Draymond's at 9,000. That feels really good for cash. He's just giving you 45 almost every single night. In fact, averaging 45 over the last three. Feel really good about that. While Kevon Looney's at 3,600. I love the minutes he's getting. As I say all the time, he can get those blocks, which is a nice bonus on FanDuel. He's going to get you 17 to 18 a night, which is, you know, that's fine for cash flow. And as I said, you need these cheap guys in. So Iguodala and Looney are those two cheap guys who you can feel a level of confidence given their price that they're going to at least achieve a decent level there. Tone Davis, as I touched on earlier, is at 12-8. And of course, you should always be considering Tone Davis, but he's not the first guy I'm penciling in. That's a very, very high price tag to be getting at. You need, 64, 63 points for that to make sense. And he might not be able to get there. Just 45 points from him in game four. So he still has value, but that's taking a fair bit away given that price. Nick Mirotic is at 7,200. The numbers for him haven't been awesome lately. The Warriors have stymied him quite a bit. Always going to be a tournament option, but nothing more than that. While Cheick Diallo and Dave West, neither of those guys are even getting to 10 minutes per game. At center, there's literally nobody that I want to use in this game at center, because I just don't think any center eligible players are going to see the court for more than, say, 3 or 4 minutes. That's really about it. Let's go and have a look at this one now on DraftKings. Yeah, very similar stuff. I like that Clay is down at 5,900, and I like Kevin Durant at 9,500. That is a stupendously low price. Drew at 74 has some interest over there on DraftKings too. Draymond and Tone Davis. Draymond at 8-1's good. Tone Davis at 10-9, that's really solid. But I'm still focusing in on that Durant price point over on DraftKings as well. Looney's an option. Mirotic down to 6,700 has some value. While given the pricing on DraftKings, Iguodala's not quite as impressive as what he seems on FanDuel. He's a 4,600 and he's a real chance to exceed that. But you've got much cheaper options at other price points that you might not need to be plugging in a guy like Iguodala. You might, and you should feel good about him getting to that price tag, but he might not be the guy that you 100% need in there. Let's have a look at it now over on Yahoo. Looney's a minimum salary guy, again, that I really do think is a good cash play. I like Clay, I like Iguodala, I like Draymond, I like Durant. Very similar across all of the sites for Tuesday as to where their value lies. Tone Davis is probably too high in my opinion. He's a $58 player over on Yahoo, and that's a pretty high price tag. I don't think I'd be spending up on that again when there are other options out there that you can be taking and using, like a Kevin Durant, who comes in at $48. I would take the 48 of Durant over the 58 for Tone Davis, pretty comfortably over on Yahoo. All right, let's flick this one over now to the next game. It's the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. The Jazz. This one feels like it's pretty much a fait accompli. It's back in Houston. The Jazz are without Ricky Rubio. They are without Dante Exum. So that's 2 point guards done. Exum had done a fairly good job of defending Harden. He has a hamstring issue. They just seem like they've been outclassed the last two games after sneaking in game two. If we have a look at how the box score looked in that game, it was 100-87. The Rockets' defense is putting the clamps on here. Capella has been electric, 12-15 with 6 blocks. He played a ton of minutes as well. I'm happy to see him getting this extra playing time. Ryan Anderson out of the rotation entirely with Gerald Green and Nene getting those minutes. We're seeing Luke Marmute reduced a little bit as well, with PJ Tucker being preferred. 35 minutes for PJ, 16 for Luke. And that's sort of been a pattern through this series as well, while Trevor Ariza continues his struggles. On the Jazz side of things, you're going to have to get a lot more Harold Neto, who played 18 minutes in game four with Exum and Rubio both out. He's going to have to be the primary backup. And I imagine that Alec Burks plays more than the 9 minutes he played in game four. The Don had 25 points. Still, his efficiency has been horrible in this series, while Gobert has struggled against Capella to put up decent fantasy lines. And Jay Crowder, who was inserted into the starting lineup, he was Cleveland Jay Crowder. He was 1 of 11 for 5 points after playing really well in the games prior to that. I imagine they will still start him because Favors has really struggled in this series and he cannot stay on the floor pretty much. So I imagine that Crowder gets the bulk of those minutes there, while Royce O'Neal made another start. He played 28 minutes and that's likely going to have to stay the same or potentially ramp up depending on how things look in this game. Let's flick it over to FanDuel now. As I said before, the Rockets are favored by 12.5 points and the total is 207.5. This has got way more blowout potential than the Warriors game. No Rubio, no Exum. Getting smashed the last two games. Decent fight back from the Jazz in game four, but realistically, this is looking like trouble for Utah here. Chrissy Paul's at $9,000 and he was great in game four. He put up 58 points there. At that sort of price, I'm still not 100% locked in on him as a cash guy, but I do love it as a tournament player, and you could use it in cash if you wanted to go that route. While Neto's at $3,500, he's going to have to play some extra minutes, but he's far from a high scoring sort of a player. You're much better off, taking a look at perhaps you look at Steph, perhaps you do look at Quinn Cook, because point guards are not easy to find. Or maybe you do have to spend up on Chris Paul, just given the lack of options at that position on this slate. Jim Harden's at $12,300, and as I referenced with Davis earlier, I'd rather go Durant when I'm spending that sort of big money. Harden had just 37 in game four. I don't think he's going to have to fully extend himself in this game, but he is still obviously worthwhile using. His ceiling is immense. He's got a fairly solid floor, but that's a very big price, and you need to put some other guys around him. While the Don at $8,900, Don Mitchell, has only averaged 35 points over his last 5 games, and that's including the 48 he had in game 4. So being well below par over this recent stretch, the shot just not going in. I think the struggles could continue for Don, but we're looking at a paucity of options, so potentially you have to go with him. And you know he's going to get minutes, and you know he's going to get shots. So that's always a something that you can have some reliability with. Eric Gordon's at $5,000, just really not getting to the level you need him to. More of a tournament guy, but I don't feel strongly. While Alec Burks at $4,000, struggled 5 points in the last game, but had been playing really well before that. And again, if you're looking for cheap options, this could be one that you have to go for. He's going to have to play, I think, more than the 9 minutes that he played last game, and that should be able to push him into a bigger fantasy role. Royce O'Neal's at 4,400, hasn't really provided much, but he has had a 38-point game on his resume through the regular season. The opportunity's there for him, so he's a player you have to throw into the mix in your tournaments, but far from a must-roster guy. While Jingle and Joe's at 6,300. Again, pricing on FanDuel is really tight, so maybe you can consider Ingles an option at that position, but he's not screaming out as a must-roster guy. Trevor Reza is terrible at the moment. I get the feeling that he might be cooked in terms of his long-term value, but he is a player that you can throw into a tournament. Maybe he gets hot. While PJ Tucker at that same price has been outperforming Ariza. I don't have full confidence in Tucker being able to give you 22 or 23 a night, but that's exactly what he's been doing pretty much every game. So if there's one guy I'm going to look at in cash, it's going to be Tucker over Ariza. Gerald Green at $3,000. We know he can have those random games. So that's a guy that you might want to differentiate yourself with in a tournament. Jay Crowder's at $5,000 as a power forward. I imagine he starts again. I also imagine he doesn't shoot 9% from the field. So he would be a guy that I'd look at here. I might even consider it in cash, but he's definitely a tournament player. Mamute, very little impact. Derek Favors at 5,000 is averaging 17 points in his last five. That's horrible. While Jonas Jerebko's at 2,000. He's getting some minutes. He's had over 10 minutes in each of the previous two games. He's not doing anything with them, and I'm not looking at him as a savior type of guy. The centers, you're going to have to look at it in this game. It's going to have to be Capella or Gobert. Capella's at 9,400. And that's a really lot. It's a really lot. That's a bad sentence. It's a lot of money to throw in there. He's averaging 46 over his last five, 48 over his last three. You might have to go that direction, or if you want to save money, you go 78 on Gobert. But I think value for money wise, Capella's probably a better option. He's not a lock, but again, there's just no other center options that you can really throw in there. So you are going to have to bite the bullet and go with one of those guys, constructing a lineup on FanDuel really, really difficult for this slate of games. Let's flick it to DraftKings now. Similar sort of stuff, except Harden and Capella are much more appealing. 7,500 for Clint, love that. 10,400 for Jim, love it. Jingle and Joe at 56, love it. Chrissy Paul at 76, love the value. The Don at 7,700, great value, but so many other guys leap ahead of Don Mitchell just because of how the pricing is shaking out. Love Royce O'Neal as a tournament flyer at 3,700, while Jay Crowder at 51, he has way less appeal on DraftKings than what he does over on FanDuel, just given the fact that he's priced cheaper on FanDuel than what he is at DraftKings, and so many other guys come in cheaper over on the old DK. For Yahoo, Royce O'Neal, PJ Tucker, both minimum salary guys. I'd love PJ here as a cash guy on Yahoo for $10. Get me my 20, get me my 23 points. That's exactly what you want out of a $10 guy. Royce is not a bad cash play, but if I'm spending $10, it's clearly going to be on PJ. Alec Burks is a tournament minimum salary guy there as well. I think Ingles, Capella, and Paul also look pretty good from a cash and tournament standpoint. While Jay Crowder at 17 looks decently solid, I think, on Yahoo too. While Harden at 52 is interesting, probably more tournament-y given the pricing you can get for Kevin Durant. And then you got the Don at 3,300, who again has struggled a little bit, but I don't think that that's a bad choice of an option over on Yahoo. All right, that wraps us up for today's podcast. Again, tomorrow's show might be a DFS show, might be a draft recap as we do picks 13 through 16 in the 2017 NBA draft. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating, review, you know the story. Go find us on Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, or Spotify if you're new to the podcast, or on YouTube. You can smash that red subscribe button and give me a thumbs up and leave a comment below. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Udonis Haslam.